Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we want to spend a few moments talking about the day of the Lord and the expectation of the Christian believer. All right? What is it that we are looking forward to? What is our hope, our expectation, grounded in God's word? And to do this, we want to spend a few moments considering our epistle text from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the first thing that I want to point out to you is that St. Paul tells us clearly what we need to know and what we don't need to know. Right? He says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." So he says, I don't want you to become preoccupied with the question of when is the second coming going to happen. He says, I don't even need to write to you about the times and the seasons. Why? It's not for us to know. As a matter of fact, too much curiosity about setting dates, knowing the times and the seasons, has led many people to make a shipwreck of their faith and of their churches. American history is scattered with cults that got their beginning in the 19th century when there was that craze of date setting. You had the Millerites, and you had the Russellites, and you had every other kook and crazy who gave birth to cults which we now call the Adventists, the Mormons, and the Jehovah's Witnesses. All of these grew out of this Adventist mania for setting dates and trying to figure out by esoteric study of scripture and preoccupation with genealogical ideas that they could figure out just when the Lord would return. Jesus himself says many times, you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And here, St. Paul tells us, I have no need to write to you about the times and the seasons. We do not know when the Lord is coming, but we know that he is coming in glory. And that's why St. Paul moves on and he says, in verse 2, he says, you yourselves know perfectly. So you don't just know it. You know it perfectly well. What do you know? That the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. That is, the second coming of Christ will be both sudden and unexpected. All right? This is an important thing for us to consider. What we need to know, we already know, having been taught by Jesus and the apostles, that the day of the Lord comes suddenly and unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. He goes on to mention the fact that it will come like labor pains on a pregnant woman, right? Travail upon a woman with child. That is, that all of a sudden, things will be different. All of a sudden, unexpectedly, it will be upon us. That is what we need to know about the Lord's coming. It will be sudden. It will be unexpected, like a thief in the night. And we must not concern ourselves with date setting and with speculation about when it will happen. It could happen today, it could happen 20 years from now, it could happen a couple of hundred years from now. We are not to concern ourselves with that, but we are to know what is important and to anchor our souls in that. All right. The second thing that we need to learn from our text today is, for the world of unbelievers, in their carnal excuses and in their carnal security, that day will come unpleasantly. Notice that it says in verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, like a woman with child, and they shall not escape. All right? So here we see what happens to those who have persisted in sin, those who have persisted in impenitence and unbelief, turned a deaf ear to the word of God, which is preached in all the world. The easiest thing for you to find out about in this world is the word of God, the teaching of Jesus, the word of eternal life. It is so filled the world that it's almost impossible to not hear about it. You gotta actually work hard to avoid being impacted by the word of God in our modern age. But there are many, in fact, most people who work overtime to remain impenitent and unbelieving. And for those people, when they see the signs of the coming, they will rationalize, just like, you know, when you watch TV, you watch the world and the way it works. We know how to rationalize our sins. We're geniuses at rationalizing our sins. We can do bad things and convince ourselves that we are doing God a favor. All right? Think about the scribes and the Pharisees. They thought that they were God's own children and servants, and yet they were planning to murder Jesus. You see? We human beings are experts at rationalizing. We can look at the sky turn black. We can look at the sun turn black. We can look at the moon turn red like blood. And we could say, nothing to see here. Everything is fine. Everything back to go about your business. Nothing to see here, right? And we can convince ourselves that even though in Sunday school we learn of the signs of the times, this isn't that. And so we continue in our sins because we want to, right? We continue in sins because we want to. And so St. Paul says, just when they are saying peace, safety, no worries, everything is fine, sudden destruction cometh upon them as upon a woman in travail, and they shall not escape. This is the second coming as it is experienced by the ungodly, the unbelieving, the hypocrite, the apostate, and all of those who cling to their own will, their own sins, and they remain in unbelief because they heard the precious good news of salvation in Jesus, and they would not, and they would not. And so sudden destruction cometh upon them as upon a woman in travail, and they shall not escape. Now, the next thing that we need to hear is the big but, right? St. Paul turns corners here, right? He has just told us about date setting. He has told us about what we need to know. He has told us about how this day will impact the world of unbelievers and the wicked. And then he says, but, in verse 4, but ye brethren. Now he's talking about his fellow Christian believers. And he says, you are not in darkness. The world is in darkness. Right? That's why they think that men can get pregnant. Right? Because they're in darkness. And God is letting them show their stupidity right up there for everyone to see. Okay? And so here he says, brethren, you are not in darkness. You are not in unbelief. You are not in spiritual death. You are not beclouded by lies and deceit. That day should overtake you as a thief. No. The day of the Lord will not be an unpleasant surprise for the Christian believer. Why? Because you are in the light, right? You are not in darkness. Therefore, that day will not overtake you as a thief. That day will come as a welcome and pleasant surprise. A good thing, like when you've been waiting for your family to arrive at Thanksgiving dinner and the doorbell rings. And it's not like, uh-oh, who is that? It's like, they're here, right? And that's what the day will be for us. He's here. And that means he comes for the Christians with every good fulfillment and joy. All right, so he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief, but ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. So he says, the first reason why you're not in darkness and you don't have to worry about being overtaken by the day is because you are, number one, you are children of the light. That is, in Christ, in your baptism, you have been adopted into God's own family. You have been begotten by the word of truth. You have received the washing of regeneration and renewing in the Holy Ghost. And therefore, you are the beloved children of God in Christ. That's number one. And number two is you are all children of the day. That is, you are the result of God's revelation of his truth in the world. And you who are the adopted children of God, every day of your life, you live in the light of the truth of God. You live in the daylight of God's word, the daylight of the gospel light. You live in the reality that you are one of God's precious children and that God is your gracious heavenly Father. So you are children of the light. You are children of the day. You're not walking in darkness. You're not walking in the night. You're not like the world filled with unbelief, impenitence, wickedness, and sin. You are sons of the light, sons of the day. Now he has an admonition for us. First, he tells us the reason why we can be glad that the day will not be an unpleasant surprise for us is because we're children of the light, children of the day. Now he has an admonition for the children of the light. And basically, to sum it up, what he's basically going to say is, don't take your faith for granted and let yourself slip back into the world that you were pulled out of. Remember the pit from whence ye are dug. All right? Don't let yourself slip back into old ways. You know, everybody makes good beginnings. Not everybody makes good endings. Right? We want to be among those people who not only begin well, but we continue in the grace of God, and we end well by the grace of God as well. So, he says, therefore, verse 6, therefore, admonition, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The world drowsily continues the sleep of sin. That's what we experience in the world. Everybody drowsily yawns, rolls over, and continues in the sleep of sin. We are not to do that. We feel it. Sometimes our flesh feels weak. Sometimes our mind feels confused. But listen, he says, don't sleep that the way others do, but watch and be sober. Sober. To watch means to be alert, and to be sober means to have a clear head. Now, how do you watch and be sober? By continually receiving the grace of God, which God gives you by means of the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments. We call these the means of grace. That is, they are the delivery points where God has promised to give us his grace, his forgiveness, his Holy Spirit, his life, and salvation. All right? And therefore, when we diligently use God's word, and we diligently and believingly receive the sacraments as he has instituted them, we are being filled with faith and with love and with the hopeful expectation of our final salvation. He says, those who sleep in the night, those that are drunk at night, but let us that are of the day be sober, that is clear-headed, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So here, to sum this up, this admonition, he says, do not let your flesh lead you to regress back into your old ways, but by means of the grace of God given to us in the word and the sacraments, let us use these things, apply them to ourselves, and then be strong in faith, in love, and in Christian hope. And then he gives us a final comfort here. In verse 9, he says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only are you haphazardly included in the kingdom of grace, sometimes, according to the way we see things, it seems rather haphazard. How did I become a devout Christian and other people don't? It seems like I just kind of fell into it. That's the way the human mind thinks about it. But it's not an accident. Notice he says, God has not appointed you to wrath. He has appointed you to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So your salvation, your eternal well-being is something that in Christ you were appointed to. And that means that your salvation is rock solid, well grounded. Okay? So that's the first thing. You have not been appointed to wrath. You've been appointed to obtain salvation. And then he says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he reminds us, what is our salvation? Who died for us. All right? And that says it all right there. He died for us. Our salvation is finished and accomplished because once and for all, the Lord Jesus died for us in our place for our benefit. He died in our stead so that we might live eternally. So he died for us that whether we wake, whether we live to the second coming of Christ, or whether our bodies sleep in the graves, whether either one, right? If you die and your body sleeps in the grave and your soul goes to paradise with Jesus, either that, or you are one of the people alive when Jesus returns, either way, you will live together with him forever. You see that? This is a promise. It's not something, maybe if you're really a good boy and a good girl, you might achieve this thing. No, this is a promise for you to hang on. You were not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation by Jesus Christ. He died for you once and for all to include you in his kingdom. And whether you live till the second coming of Christ, or whether you die beforehand, you will live together with Christ. And then finally he says, therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. So he closes this section about the coming by saying, encourage one another. How do you do that? By coming to church. When you come to church, you join in the fellowship of God's people and you hear God's word together. You confess the faith together. You receive the gifts of God together. People don't realize just how encouraging it is when they see your face in church on Sunday. All right? People are so wrapped up in their own lives that when they make the decision on a given Sunday not to come to church, it never enters their mind that there are going to be people who look at the place where they usually sit and go, oh, where is so-and-so? Right? Comfort yourselves together. Right? Comfort yourselves together. What does that mean? Continue to meet together around the word and sacrament to mutually comfort and edify. Edify means to build one another up, all right? You, by gathering together around the word and the sacraments, by standing together and confessing the creed, we are building each other up and encouraging one another to continue in the faith. And he says, even as also you do. He says, I know you're already doing this. Keep it up. Keep it up. So today, when we consider the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, that's bad news for the persistent unbeliever and the impenitent who continues in sin. But it is very good news to the Christian believer, no matter how weak they may be in their faith, because they know that it is their Savior and Redeemer who is coming with the vindication of all the things that we have waited for, we hope in, and we expect. And he's coming to bring them to us. That day will not overtake us as a thief. It will be like welcome company on a holiday. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.